Today's daf, we're going to be learning is Pesachim daf Samach Bet. We're going to go back to the top of Samach Aleph Amud Bet for a quick minute to review where we went to yesterday. Remember, we started with two Mishnayot ago with this issue of Shelo Lishma and Lishma. If I say both, I'm doing it for the purpose of the Pesach and the purpose of Ashlamim. The fact that I mentioned also Shelo Lishma is a problem. But when it comes to Shachatola, Ochlava, Shalola, Ochlava, or the Minuyava, Shalola, Minuyava, Ochlim, Litmaim, or the Mulim, Balarelim, and I mix two together, we say as long as I included people who are part of it, it's okay. And then the question was asked, and before we even start this next line, I'll just tell you that I said something yesterday I want to clarify a little bit better. What I said is that, and I want to say why I said it, even though I probably shouldn't repeat it because it's not exactly accurate, but I'll tell you what I said to then correct where it's more accurate. These all the psulim of thinking about the wrong type of people, okay, which I'll also tell you, some people call this like, it's like shinoi ba'alim in a korban. It's not exactly shinoi ba'alim. Shinoi ba'alim is something different. Shinoi ba'alim is when I say I'm bringing a korban chatap for myself, a sin offering, and I bring an animal. And then when I go to sacrifice it, I sacrifice for the intent, or actually the main psul is when I sprinkle the blood. And I think when I'm sprinkling the blood, I'm doing it for somebody else. That's called shinoi ba'alim, and that disqualifies the sacrifice. Here it's a different type of shinoi ba'alim. It does relate to the ba'alim, and some people kind of call it shinoi ba'alim, but it's not, don't be confused. These are two different things. Here, what we're doing is we're thinking of the wrong people. It's people related rather than sacrifice related. Lishmo and l'shalo lishmo is sacrifice related. Is this a psachim, a pesach? Is it an ola? Is it a shlamim, right? What is it? But there, the other psul is who is involved. Now, because all those psulim for Pesach specifically, and this is, by the way, only for Pesach. Shinoi ba'alim is general for all korbanot, but these type of psulim that we mentioned in our Mishnah has to be someone registered. It has to be someone, I saw these jokes going around by people about, you know, it's like a meal that people register for, right? That, and you know, that if you show up for a meal and you didn't register and you didn't pay, right? And you're trying to get your meal, it's kind of like that. Anyway, the idea being that these people are, right, you can't have it for someone who can't eat. You can't have it for someone who's impure. These are all unique halachot for Korban Pesach. And because the Pasuk says, it's learned from that Pasuk we saw yesterday. Ish lefi ochlo tachosu alaseh. Remember we said tachosu means slaughter it, right? Slaughter the animal on these people. So what do they learn? That the psul here is different from the psul of shalo lishma. Lishma 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 is for all of the four processes of the korban, right? The from the slaughtering to the sprinkling of the blood. But this is only a psul by shchita, and not, and here I'll tell you now what I said yesterday. I said because it's talked about ochlav, and the shchita relates to the eating, but it's not really that from what I learned now. I read it better. It's because it says tachosu, because the pasuk there is talking about the slaughtering. The act there mentioned is slaughtering. Therefore, it's only applicable to slaughtering. And most of the Mefarshim agree, although it's not, the Rambam disagrees with this, that when it comes to sprinkling the blood, if you're in the act of sprinkling the blood, nobody thinks it's a pasul, again, other than the Rambam. We'll leave the Rambam aside. But that if I'm thinking, while it's, like I said before, it's only in Shechita, it's not in Zrika. But the question of the Gemara here at the very top of Samach Aleph Amud Bet was, what if I slaughter it, limulim, al menat shitchapu arilim b'zrika? My thinking is during Shechita, and I'm thinking about uncircumcised people, but I'm thinking about them not relating to Shechita. The Shechita, I'm thinking, oh, I'm slaughtering this for everybody, right? Arelim and Mulim, circumcised and uncircumcised. But while I'm slaughtering, I'm thinking about sprinkling the blood only for those who are uncircumcised. So that's the question, according to, again, the question, according to most of the Mefarshim, other than the Rambam, is not about Zrika itself. It's only about during Shechita, thinking about Zrika, because you're still in the act of Shechita and you're thinking only about Arelim, but you're not thinking about them for the Shechita, you're thinking about them for the sprinkling of the blood. Okay, so that we saw Rav Chista says Pasul, Rabba says Kasher. Then we tried to explain from this Drasha, Kol Arel and the Zot, and then they each tried to explain their approach about how the Zot comes to basically distinguish between the Shechita and the Zrika, to which Rav Ashi says, Your whole premise was mistaken. You said kol areel obviously means if all of them are areelim, but it doesn't necessarily mean that kol could be anyone is areel. It's a problem, and therefore your whole premise of your drasha is wrong. And therefore, Rav Ashi gives a different reasoning for Rav Achist and Rav Ashi, and that's where we're starting now. The last few words on Samach Aleph Amud Bet. Ela Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Chista b'Rabba b'Hai k'ra k'mifrigei. The real machloket is about the following upcoming pasuk. V'nirtza lo l'chaper alav. This pasuk is a pasuk by the Korban Ola. It's at the very beginning of Sefer Vayikra. Sefer Vayikra starts off with the Korban Ola, the burnt offering that all gets burnt. It says, V'samach yado arosh ha'ola. You put your hands on the head of the animal. V'nirtza lo l'chaper alav. And it is there to atone for you. Now, when do you get atonement? During Zrika. And this is why, now the psul of Shinoi, then this is why I didn't want you to confuse Shinoi Baalim and our Shinoi Baalim. Okay? Our case where you do it for the wrong people is not Shinoi Baalim. The regular Shinoi Baalim, okay, although they're going to compare them, but the regular Shinoi Baalim happens at Zrika. Okay? The regular Shinoi Baalim, if I think that I'm going to bring this korban for me, I separate the animal for me, and then when I sprinkle the blood, that's the moment of getting atonement, when I sprinkle the blood. So when I sprinkle the blood, I think that I'm doing it for somebody else, or the Kohen thinks he's doing it for somebody else, then the Shinoi Baalim is disqualified. So what do we learn here? When is it disqualified? Alav velo achavero, right? They say it has to be for me and not for someone else. This teaches you the psul of thinking of the wrong person, which we're going to compare to thinking of the wrong person on Pesach. So Rabba Saval, chavero dumi adidei. Rabba says it has to be someone who potentially could have been part of this korban. Meaning, right, when you say, now this is going to be a little confusing because we're going to say it has to be, but that's when it's going to be disqualified. And it's only disqualified if the person that you substitute for you, or the Kohen, let's say, thinks instead of doing it for me, he thinks about you. So it has to be someone who potentially could have been included, because it has to be someone who could have gone instead of you, theoretically, if you had brought your own korban, let's say. So mahu debar kapara, afchevero debar kapara. So therefore, your friend has to be someone, right? The alav, velo achavero, has to be for you, the one who it was designated for, and not in the name of somebody else. It has to be someone who could have potentially become atoned for by this korban. How does that relate to us? Because la fukehai, arel, dilav bar kaparao. If I say while I'm slaughtering, I start thinking about that when I sprinkle the blood, I'm going to switch, right? I'm going to think about it's going to be for only uncircumcised people. That wouldn't be a disqualification of switching it to somebody else because I've basically done nothing. That person can never bring a Korban Pesach anyway. They're Arelim. They are not circumcised. They are not involved in, there has to be someone in order for the disqualification of switching it to somebody else to kick in has to be someone who could have potentially been there. And therefore, it's basically saying what you did was totally ineffective because you switched it to someone you thought about in Zrika, something that's meaningless because that person couldn't ever have been atoned by the Korban Pesach. Right? Korban Pesach isn't exactly atonement, but it means just the Korban being effective for him. So therefore, Rabba holds, that disqualification, if I think while I'm slaughtering, I think that I'm going to sprinkle the blood for someone who can't ever bring the korban themselves. So that's not relevant. I did nothing. It's useless. It's a meaningless act. So if it's a meaningless act, this is what's funny about, right, or ironic. If it's meaningless, then what happens? It didn't disqualify anything because it's as if I did nothing. In order to disqualify, it has to be something that theoretically could have worked. So I didn't invalidate any owner. I see what you're asking, Becky. I didn't invalidate anyone because I did something that was meaningless. It's if you do something that theoretically could have worked, like if I say I'm switching this to someone else who could have brought the korban, that would work. And this shows, by the way, that it's really an issue for mulim specifically, right? Or right? Anyone who, arelim. It's all these psulim of people who couldn't have ever brought this korban, or the right, all of these. The minuyim, right? Most people say this applies for all of them. It's not just arelim, it's mulim, tmeim, right? Since those people could never have brought this sacrifice, so it was a meaningless statement. If it was meaningless, then I actually didn't disqualify the korban. Okay, that's what they say. Rav Chista savar, no, hi arel nami, kevan de bar chiyuvahu, bar kaparahu, why ho'il de ibai metake nafshe? Remember ho'il? Ho'il means because potentially someone could have done something, okay? And don't worry, we're going to get back to Ho'il. We're going to compare this to the last machloket we saw Ho'il in. So it'll be good review, right? It's always nice. We don't always get to do Chazara, but the daf helps us do some Chazara here and there. So now, what is he saying? Potentially, someone who's uncircumcised can circumcise themselves. It's not always so easy. It's not always, you know, and in these cases, usually it's an RL who halachically is allowed to not be circumcised for health reasons, whatever it might be. So it's a little bit weird that he's saying this, but what he's claiming is, we don't care that whether you could or not, but potentially you could be included in a Korban Pesach if you're uncircumcised, because you could just circumcise yourself. Again, to say just circumcise yourself sounds pretty, easy peasy, but anyway, you get the idea. He says, it's not that this person is removed entirely. It's not that, I mean, you could say, I was going to say, it's not like they're not Jewish, let's say, but even not Jewish, someone could convert. Like, how far would you go, right? So it's a good question how far he would go. Anyway, he says, since that's the case, he is somewhat included. Therefore, again, once you're included, if you have a thought that you're going to sprinkle the blood for this person, since they theoretically in some potential world, one could have been relevant here. So there, even though he's not relevant now, therefore, what do we say? It's going to disqualify the korban. So now the Gemara is questioning this. Wait a minute. Umi ilei l'Rav Chista ho'il? Wait a minute. Okay, try to remember. What did we learn about ho'il and Rav Chista and Rabba, the same two people arguing here? In our case, Rabba doesn't hold ho'il and Rav Chista does. In the case where we learned it previously about cooking on Yantif for a weekday, what did we say? It's the opposite. Let's read. Ha'ofemi yom tov l'chol. Rav Chista amar loke. Rav Chista says you get lashes. Rabba amar eino loke. You don't get lashes. Why? Rabba amar eino loke. You don't get lashes for cooking for Yantov, extra food so that you'll have lunch for tomorrow for the kids. Amrin an ho'il. He says, since maybe guests will show up, therefore, it's okay what you did. Nothing wrong. Hashtanami chaze velo lake. So likewise here, since Orchim will come, therefore it's potentially ra'oi for that person and you don't get lashes. Rav Chista Amar, in other words, theoretically, whatever you cooked could be potentially eaten today and therefore no lashes. Rav Chista Amar loket lom brim and holy. It doesn't say, oh, maybe guests will show up, right? We don't hold by that. So let's try to resolve this contradiction. We have to resolve it in both directions. Why does Rabba not say it here, but he does say it there? And why does Rav Chista say it there and he doesn't say it? Why does Rav Chista say it here and he doesn't say it there? So now the Gemara says, first they start with Rabba. Rabba Amar, Rav Chista Amar, Bishlama Rabba Ade Rabba. Okay, Rabba against Rabba, I understand. Lo kashim. Hacha mechusar maaseh, hatam lo mechusar maaseh. This goes back to what we said before. To do a brit milah is a big deal. It's, you're missing something major and important, okay? Whereas, so therefore, we're not going to say ho'il when there's a big step, a big gap between where you are now and what the potential is. But guests showing up in the afternoon, not exactly mechusar maaseh. What is mechusar maaseh? It's missing an action. There's also an action. Someone has to show up at your house. But it's not the same kind of action, and it also doesn't relate to you specifically. But that's not really the issue. The issue is really, for the way I view it, is it's a matter of how difficult is it to do, right? When we're talking about potentially this could happen, right? When I said potentially the person could do a brit milah, it's not really so potentially. First of all, right, we're in Erev Pesach right now. He's going to go into a brit milah right now. And it's usually someone who's exempt from brit milah, and there's reasons why he's not doing a brit milah. So it's very hard to say ho'il there, whereas on the fact that guests might show up at your house, that's a lot more common. Second answer. So now we have to deal with Rav Chista. Ela de Rav Chista, de Rav Chista kashya. But Rav Chista, how do we explain him? Why did he say ho'il here and he didn't say it there, where it's much less likely to say ho'il in the Brit Milah case? So Amri, we say, no, you've missed something very important. And maybe you noticed this, which is ki le'le le Rav Chista ho'il le'kula le'chumri itle. Each one, the ho'il takes you to a different place. When it's on Yantif, in both cases, Rav Chista is stringent. When it comes to Yom Tov, he says you're going to get lashes because we don't say ho'il. But in our case, when we want to say, did you disqualify the korban, we are going to say you disqualified because of ho'il. We're going to use ho'il when it makes things more strict. We're not going to use it to basically enable us to get out of something. Okay, so this is very interesting logic. It's to say, yes, this is a concept we can use, but we only use it to be more stringent. It's not like we believe in this across the board. If this is a classic. Look, people say sometimes it's just you can be stringent about things. So he takes ho'il to say, oh, let's be stringent about it if you can use a ho'il. Okay, we're going to get back to his ho'il in a little while. Right now, we're going to move on to something else. yesterday. I told you we were going to get back to this. We started this Braita where the Braita raised all sorts of possibilities. We wanted to know if you have, right? We wanted to, right? Rabba tried to prove, right? And he wanted to, so, yachol yifso b'necha b'laha b'inimo, right? You might have thought that if you have a group of people with, you know, there's a mix of people, that if you have circumcised and uncircumcised people mixed together, one will mess up the other, right? If they slaughter the animal for everybody, which we know from the Mishnah, it's not the case, but the Braita here suggested maybe it would be. And then they figure out how we learn that it's not. So the first thing they said was, right, the whole question is, do we compare it to Tuma or do we compare it to Zman, right? Two different Psulei Machshava. Tuma, we said, if we compare it to Tuma, where we have part Tmeim and part not Tmeim, part impure, part not impure, there it's obvious that the impure doesn't mess up the pure and that it's okay. And we didn't know there why it was so obvious to them. In other words, and the real question is, if it's obvious that if I mix Tmeim and Teorim and I think, oh, I'm doing it for all of them, and I mix circumcised and uncircumcised, right? The whole thing was, if I mix circumcised and uncircumcised, how do I know? And they say, well, because it's obvious by impure and pure. But why would one be more obvious than the other? In other words, either it's true across the board and there's a reason or there's not, but one shouldn't be more obvious than the other. And that's where the Gemara is going to start off right now and try to figure out why it was obvious. And what exactly do we mean when we say Tmeim? We thought it says Tuma there. We assumed Tuma meant just like circumcised and uncircumcised, you meant impure and pure people, right? People who are Tame mixed with people who are pure. And then we'd say that's obvious that it's okay. So now we're going to question that because why is it so obvious? So Amalei Marzutra Bereidu Rav Meri LeRavina. We're going to have a long-winded discussion here. A lot of possibilities thrown around and each one is going to kind of be questioned. And I charted it on the sheet. You can follow there. So he says to Ravina, Katane ho'il v'orla poselet v'tuma poselet. Since, right, this is just quoting the Braita, okay, that I just explained. It says, since Orla disqualifies and Tuma disqualifies, they're both disqualifications in terms of the owners of the sacrifice. Ma Tuma lo asaba miksat Tuma kechol Tuma. Just like Tuma, we don't make, again, I'm going to explain it the way we explained it yesterday. We don't make some of the impure people, right, mess up the others, that if you have some, but yet you also have pure people, it's okay. Af Orla will say the same thing by uncircumcised people. Lo asam miktzat Orla kachol Orla. So if you have a group of people who registered, some are impure and some are not. Some are circumcised and some are not. The uncircumcised people don't mess it up for the circumcised people. Even if, right, your thoughts were for all of the group, which included people who were problematic. So the Gemara asks now, Hai Tuma Hechidami, what do we mean by Tuma here when we say Tuma? Ilema b'tuma gavri, if you say people, like we just explained, and then what do you have to explain? What does it mean? Lo asaba miktzat tuma kechol tuma. This we already explained. Di ka arba'a v'chamisha gavrei tmeim. Va'arba'a v'chamisha gavrei teorim. This is their classic four or five. Remember, we've seen this in a bunch of Mishnayot where they say four or five. Mifanim arbo chamesh kupot. We saw that in Shabbat. So four or five comes up a lot. This is another good example. It was just one of those words that they used a lot, you know, for a standard number. So just like if you say, right, the idea is you say, there's four or five Tmeim, there's four or five Teorim, we're all together in a group, right? And someone has intent, I'm slaughtering it for all 10 people, let's say, or all 8 or 10 people. And it's not going to be, right, halo pasla. So they say, if that's the case, lo pasla luhu Tmeim le Teorim, the fact that there's impure people here, don't mess it up for the pure people. And then you would say, gabe orla nami, halo pasla. And then we want to say, right, by orla also, we're going to say then it's not pasul. And how do we know this? Ditna lemulim ba'al ha'reilim kasher, like it says in our Mishnah. But Gemara is going to ask, though, that doesn't make any sense because, exactly as I said before, ma'ishna tuma depshita le, u'ma'ishna orla demesapka le. Those two are exactly the same. Why would it be obvious to them that tmeim is fine? And it's not obvious, and they have to ask the question about the ha'reilim, about the uncircumcised. It's saying, why was it so obvious to them? There's no reason why it should be obvious. And if it was obvious, then it should be obvious also for the uncircumcised, and they shouldn't even be asking the question, which they did in the Braita. They asked the question. I mean, in the end, we know the conclusion. The conclusion is they're the same. But the question is, why would you even have thought they were different? So now they say, okay, so if it's not Tumat Adam, the way we explained it, Tumat Gavre, as the Gemara says, Ela b'tumat basal, it must be talking about impure meat. And then let's fit it in and explain. So what does it mean then? My lo asaba miktzat tumah kechol tumah. What it means is de'ilu itame chad me'evarim. If you have the meat and one part of the meat, one of the limbs, becomes impure, hay de'itame sarfinale, ve'idach achlinale. You have a big Korban Pesach animal, one of the limbs becomes impure, it doesn't mess up all the rest of them. The rest of the people can eat the rest of the animal. In other words, or you know, whoever's there, whoever's part of that group, you don't have to say, oh, this entire animal is disqualified. That's what it means. It means that if some of the meat became impure, one of the limbs, it doesn't mess up all the rest of the animal. And then you would basically burn the part that became impure because that's disqualified, but the rest of it can be eaten. So, right, so you're asking, how does one limb become impure? It's possible they already cut the meat separately, right? In other words, you don't view this animal as one whole. I assume, but I didn't check this out, but I assume it means that one part got separated from the other, right? That it was cut up into pieces and one piece gets impure. You might've thought that messes up your entire korban. And that's why it's obvious to them. It doesn't, okay? It's already a separate piece. It doesn't mess up your entire animal. So now they say, okay, but wait, that sounds very nice. Okay, it resolved our issue about why it's obvious that this is okay. And then it's a little bit weak because we're comparing then a little bit apples and oranges. We're comparing, right, a group of people who are circumcised and uncircumcised to a piece of meat that partly became impure, partly not. But okay, we can maybe claim that. Anyways, man is also something different. We're comparing it, the other options, to compare to someone who thinks I'm going to do it in the wrong time. So it's also a different disqualification. But we're going to have a different problem. Okay, so now they say, wait a minute. Bimayu kimta, what do you want to establish this? In what case? Bitumat basar, you want to say that this is talking about tumat basar? Ema seifa, look at the continuation of this braita. The braita uses the word tuma a bunch of times. Okay, that's what we're going to see today, right? The braita said, started off, if you remember, is it like tuma? Is it like zman? And then it said, well, it's more like tuma because of this, or maybe it's more like zman because of that. And then we're going to go to each time it says, why it's either more similar to tuma and less to zman, or more similar to zman and less to tuma. Each time it uses the term tuma, and the question is, can we fit, if we want to say the beginning is tuma basar, meat, then we have to assume the end is tuma basar, and let's try to fit that in and see if it makes any sense. Well, look at the seifa, the continuation. It says, when it tries to then say what's the logic to either side, it says, danim davar she'eino noheg b'chol hazvachim, mi davar she'eino noheg b'chol hazvachim. We want to compare arelim, uncircumcised people, to tmeim, impure people. Why? Because those are both unique laws to the Korban Pesach and not found in other sacrifices. Now, when we talked about people, it was very obvious, right? Because remember, if you're tamei and you want to bring a Korban, you can. You send it with somebody else. You don't go to the temple, but you send it with somebody else. But here we're going to say, right, on Pesach, you can't even bring a Korban Pesach. You can't be part of it if you can't eat it. So now they say, so we want to compare it. The al yochiach zman, and don't learn it from zman, shenoheg b'chol hazvachim, because zman is a pigul, right? Having the wrong intent about you're going to eat it at the wrong time is a issue for all sacrifices. So now, my tuma, let's fill in the blank. Inem atuma pasar, if you're going to say it's the meat. Amay no noheg b'chol hazvachim. If you have impure meat from any sacrifice, you have to burn it, right? And if it's, right, that's a law by every zevach. It's not unique to Pesach. And therefore, you can't say that the words "eino nohei b'chol hazvachim" is talking, and it's unique to Korban Pesach, can be talking about tumat basal. Because this law that if part of the meat became tamei and not all of it, we just burn the tamei part, you can eat the rest. That's true for everything. It's true for all korbanot. So the rest of the braita doesn't make sense with this. So therefore, they say ela pshita b'tumat gavrei. So now they say it must be that this middle line, okay, we're going to call it the middle, right? Now they're calling it the end, but it's really the middle because we're going to get to the next mention of tum in the Braita soon. They say that line, eino nohei b'chol hazvachim, must be talking about tumat gavrei. There's no way it's talking about meat. Must be talking about impure people because that's a unique law to Pesach only. Umay eino nohei b'chol hazvachim, and what does that mean? As I just said a minute ago, de'ilu b'chol hazvachim, arel v'tameh meshalchim korbonotehem, right? If a man was uncircumcised or I was impure and I want to bring in any other sacrifice, I can do that. I just send someone to take care of it for me and fine, no problem. But maybe I don't eat it if I'm tameh, but I can send someone to do my korban. I don't have to eat it. But by Pesach, they can't do that. So now they say, but now you have a problem because when tumah was mentioned in the beginning, Reisha betumat basal, you meant the meat. And then when it was mentioned in the middle, Seifa betumat gavre, how could you, and we're assuming, if it says chuma, it means the same thing all throughout. So how can you say the first part was talking about meat? The second part was talking about people being tameh. That doesn't work. So they say, Amar le'in, it doesn't bother me. Shame chuma kaparech. No, it's the concept, the topic chuma. Sometimes, right? The question is it more similar to tuma? Is it more similar to zman? So when we talk about the concept of tuma, what we wanted to first compare it to was tuma basal. When we come to say, would you rather compare it to impurity or compare it to zman? We're going to talk about impurity as a general rule. So when we talk about comparing it, we'll say, well, it's similar to tumat adam when it comes to Korban Pesach, that those unique to Korban Pesach shouldn't bother us. I mean, it's not perfect, but we can explain it that way. Ibait ema. Alternatively, you can explain sefanami betumat basar. Maybe the end really is talking about meat. The beginning's meat. The middle is meat. We'll get to the end in a minute. Umay inonohe b'cholas v'chim. So what's this law about inonohe b'cholas v'chim? De'ilu b'cholas v'chim. Bein shenitma chelev u'basar kayam. U'bein shenitma basar v'chelev kayam zoreket adam. Ve'ilu b'pesach nitma chelev u'basar kayam zoreket adam. Okay, we need a little background here. But what they're basically going to say is there's some unique law by the meat of the Korban Pesach that's only true for Korban Pesach. Let's say I'm slaughtering my animal, and then in between the time of slaughtering and the time of sprinkling the blood, okay, what's supposed to happen after we sprinkle the blood? Remember, those are the four main actions you're supposed to do, the four main steps. But what happens after that? After you sprinkle the blood, so in a regular Korban, like Korban Pesach would be one of them, you burn the chelev, right? The part that's supposed to be burnt on the altar, the fats and some of the parts are burned on the altar, the imurim they're called. And then the meat is eaten by the people, right? So, and this is true for most korbanot other than the ones that are fully burned, like the ola. But there's always in all the korbanot, there's something that's burnt on the altar. And then usually if it's not a burnt offering, something that people eat, either the kohanim eat or someone else. Let's say before you sprinkle the blood, the meat and the chelev become impure and you no longer have that part that's going to be basically either burned on the altar or eaten. It's gone. Okay. It gets lost. It gets right. Something happens to it. Or what they say here is right. It became tameh. So they say like this, in all other sacrifices, I'm going to go back again. Bein shenitma chelev u'basar kayam, whether let's say only one of them got lost and the other one is still there. As long as you have one, you can continue and sprinkle the blood. If you lose both or both become impure, you cannot sprinkle the blood. You have to start from the beginning. But as long as you still have one, whether it was the chelev that became impure and the meat's still there, or the meat became impure and the chelev's still there, so like a tadam, you can still continue to sacrifice that animal. But ilu bePesach, now what's unique about Pesach? There's a special mitzvah, right? Even though we said it's in general a mitzvah to eat the kodshim, but it's not the same as Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach has to be eaten at night. That's the whole mitzvah of the night, is to eat this korban. And now we see how central it is. So therefore, it depends on which direction it is. Nitzma chelev ubasar kayam. As long as the meat is still there, even if the chelev got disqualified, zoreket adam, you can still sprinkle the blood. But the reverse is not true. Nitma basar b'chelev kayam, eino zoreket adam. So what do you see? When it says by tuma, there's a unique halacha that's only true for Pesach, we can say this is the unique halacha, and we could still say it's talking about the meat and not about people. And then the brighter works much better, because the beginning is talking about tumat basal, meat, and this middle part is talking about impurity of meat. And that works great. But as I keep saying the middle, because there's still the last part of the Mishnah, and that's going to create a problem also with this logic. So wait a minute, they say, b'mayu kimta. So what do you want to say now? You want to say the whole brighter is talking about tumat basal, ema seifa, but look at the end, okay? Not the relative end, but now the last part of the brayta. What did it say? When it said maybe it's more similar to tuma because both of those are unique by Pesach, and zman is not a unique halacha to Pesach, but all sacrifices. But then it said, or maybe it's like zman. Why is it like zman? If you remember, they said because zman and uncircumcised can never be fixed, right? Or can never be allowed, permitted. But tuma can be permitted. What does it mean? Tuma can be permitted. Because if the majority of the people, notice the people, are impure, then you can permit doing the Korban Pesach or the majority of the Kohanim. So that's obviously relating to people and not to meat. So it's not like if the majority of the meat is Tameh, you can still bring the Korban. So they say like this. That means something that's never permitted. From something else that was never permitted. That's we learn uncircumcised who can never be permitted from the issue of zman, which can never be permitted. But al tochiach tuma sharei utar michlala. But tuma can actually be permitted. Bima. So what's the case? Again, I already told you this, but now we're going to read it inside. Bitumat basal hechi utra. If you say it's talking about meat, like the resha in the middle part, that can't be, because there is no heter for the meat. Ela pshita bituma kavri. It must be talking about people there. Vehecha utra michlala. And where is it permitted? Bitzibur, as we know, if the majority of the people are impure. So again, they say, so then you're going to have a problem. Resha betumat basar, sefa betumat gavre. How could it be that the first and second part are talking about meat and then the third part is talking about person, impurity of people? That also doesn't jive. So again, they answer like they did before, in shem tumah kapara. Now, you could say that it's talking about the general term tumah, and it could be sometimes this, could be sometimes that. It shouldn't bother you so much. Ve'i bayit ema, last part for this section, in case you're too confused by now. So, What's another possible suggestion? Kula betumat basar. No, really, you could explain it that it's all talking about the meat. And what's the issue? Hecha hutra betumat pesach. In a year when the majority of the people are impure, and therefore you sacrifice the korban pesach, when the majority of the people are impure, what happens? Do they eat the korban pesach? Now you might say, well, we sacrifice the korban pesach, but you can't eat it. Why can't you eat it? Because if you're impure and you touch the meat, what happens? You make the meat impure. Now, we're not allowed to, on purpose, create impurity to sanctified meat. So what do they say here? Well, wait a minute. Ditnan pesach haba betuma ne'echal betuma shelo ba mitzchilato ela la'achila. If you weren't convinced either until now by this importance of eating, this tells you when the pesach was sacrificed betuma, all the people were tamei, they still ate the meat. Because he says it here explicitly in this Mishnah, lo ba mitzchilato. The whole purpose of the Korban Pesach is la'achila, to eat it. So even though all these people are tameim, they're going to eat the meat, and they're going to basically, by touching the meat, they're going to make it impure, it's still okay. So what do you see here? There is a heter for tuma meat. It's not what we thought, which is, oh, if all the meat's tamei, then everyone can do it anyway. No, it means that when everyone's tamei, when we permit doing the Korban Pesach Betuma, we even allow people to make the meat tameh. And therefore, we could still say that the entire Braita, we now explained it totally differently than we did yesterday, where yesterday we thought it was all about people. Now the Gemara is saying, no, it's actually all talking about Tum'at Basar, the meat. And it's comparing Arelim to impure meat, to the concept of Tum'at. And not, it's not a clear comparison. Oh, if you included Tme'im into Olim and you included Arelim in Mulim, that's not the comparison. Okay, moving on now, actually moving a little bit backwards to this concept of ho'il said by Rav Chista. It's a bit of a strange question, a little hard to understand, but we'll get through it. Mativ, and it's one of these cases where the Gemara is not 100% clear about what they're saying here, or not, they're not clear, but it's a strange question, I would say. It's not such a strong question, let's say. Mativ Rav Huna, Berej Rav Yoshua. It's like a weird way of taking this ho'il and trying to apply it to somewhere else where it doesn't exactly apply. Which in the end, that's what the Gemara is going to say. It doesn't really apply here. So they're going to question that Rav Huna says, Rav Chista says ho'il. In the case, remember, where do you say ho'il? Ho'il that you could, I was looking at the chat. Maybe I'll just relate to the question before I move on. But I see someone just asked, why not wait till Pesach Sheni when Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur? Because Pesach Sheni is for individuals who can't bring, and not when it's the whole Tzibur. That's where they kind of get it from. Okay, we'll get to this, see more of the stuff inside in other sugyot. Okay, in any case, we saw about Ho'il. What did he say? Since the uncircumcised person could potentially become circumcised, right? Therefore, we're going to be more stringent. And you know, say, right, we're going to say, in that case, if you say that the zrika is going to be for arelim only, it's going to still disqualify it because they potentially could have been bar kapara. They could have done the korban if they circumcised themselves. So Rav Huna Berej Rav Yoshua comes and says, wait a minute. He comes from the following Tanaitic source. HaPesach she'avra shnato. Okay, there's another rule we haven't discussed, which is the animal has to be within its first year. So let's say you designate an animal. That's by the time Pesach arrives, they're past their first year. Ushchato bizmano lishmo, and you slaughter it anyway, on Yud Dalet, for the purpose of Korban Pesach. So now they say, v'chein ha-shochet acharim l'shem Pesach bizmano, and if you slaughter other ones l'shem Pesach, in other words, things for Pesach bizmano, so Rabbi Eliezer posel, Rabbi Yeshua machshir. So we're going to focus now on Rabbi Eliezer, who's disqualifying the case of a Pesach that passed its year, and you want to shechtip bizmano lishmo. So he says it's pasul. Tama bizmano. They say the reason why, notice it specifically said, if you do it on Yud Dalet. Now, what happens if you do a Korban Pesach on any other day of the year? What do we say? It's a shlamim. If it's a shlamim is not limited by years, right? So therefore, what do they say? V'amai, right? So therefore, they're saying, sorry, tama bizmano, hashelo bizmano. We're going to assume now, if you do it any other day of the year where it goes as a shlamim, then even though you designated for Korban Pesach, and from the get-go, it was going to be invalid because by the time it got to Pesach, it was going to be more than a year old. Then, but you take it now and you do it as a shlamim, it's going to be kasher because the shlamim has no time limit on it. So they're assuming that when Rabbi Eliezer says posel, he's saying specifically because it says bizmano, if you do it on your dalet, but if you do it any other day, it's a shlamim and it counts as a shlamim and the age doesn't really matter. But if you say ho'il, this is the part that's a little hard to get, but if you say ho'il am I, Nema ho'ilu bizmano posel, shelo bizmano nami posel. It's not exactly the same use of ho'il. That's why this question is a little bit strange. But you would say, since potentially this is a disqualified animal, because if you were to use it on the right day, maybe it is the same, but it's, think about it like this. If you were to use it on the same day, on your dalet, it would be disqualified. Therefore, maybe we'll say this is disqualified if you use it any other day of the year. Okay, that's what they suggest. So Amar, a Papa, no, this is unique, this unique law by Pesach, which basically teaches you what we thought originally, which is any Pesach, I'll just say it very simply and then we'll read it in the words, any Korban Pesach is only Korban Pesach on Yud Dalet. Any animal you separate for Korban Pesach and you bring it as a shlamim, any other day of the year is a shlamim. So therefore, there's a unique halacha that only on Yud Dalet is it considered Pesach, and that's why it's not disqualified if you use it on a different day of the year, if it's the wrong age. So let's read it inside. Shane Amara Papa Shane Hatam Damarka the Amartim Zevach Pesachu. And you say this is Zevach Pesachu, this is Zevach Pesach, who Bahavayato. That means it in its proper form, meaning Lohu Lishum Achirim, Velo Achirim Lishmo, right? Not the Pesach for some other sacrifice, then it's not a Pesach anymore, right? Which means that the age is not relevant. And not Achirim Lishmo, not if you take a shlamim and say, I'm doing this for Pesach. It has to be you designated for Pesach and you sacrificed it on the, at the right time. So bizmano shu pasul l'shum acherim, acherim sulim l'shmo. On its right time, when it's pasul for other, if you use it for other sacrifices, likewise, other sacrifices are going to be disqualified. If I take on Yud Dalet something that I separated for a shlamim and I say I'm bringing it as a Pesach, that's also going to be disqualified. And shelo bizmano, which is the one that we're talking about, when it's not in its usual time, shehu kasher l'shum acherim, where it all of a sudden can be a shlamim, acherim kshirim l'shmo. Therefore, others are good to be, right, if you do them l'shem Pesach. So basically what they're saying is shelo bizmano is something totally different. It's not even a Pesach. And if it's not a Pesach, then we're not going to use this law of ho'il. Okay. Now we get to the interesting part of today's daf, like a little bit off, okay? We're going to get off. We're going to get into Bruria, a bit of a story, a bit of an interesting Israel diaspora relations in those times, a good little story. Rabbi Simlai, okay, nice way to end the page. Atta le kamei de Rabbi Yochanan, we'll see in a minute how this connects. Amarle, nitne li mar sefer yuchasim. So he says, Rabbi Simlai says to him, teach me please sefer yuchasim. Not 100% clear what the sefer yuchasim is. Seems to be a book of genealogy, book that talks about, okay, in the Yerushalmi, there's a parallel sugya, and instead of sefer yuchasim, it calls it agadah. Okay, it's some sort of drasha book. Some people say it was a book of drashot on Divrei Hayamim, which we'll see at the very end, that there's some drasha in there about Divrei Hayamim, which is the book of Chronicles that goes through all the genealogies. And it was obviously this important book that they, you know, about who is who. And it's interesting, maybe they're talking about this because of all the Baalim and who, you know, who's kasher, who's not, right? Same idea with Yuchasin, who's in, who's out, right? Who can marry who? Who comes from a family of slaves? Who comes from a family of Gentiles, right? All different, you know, are you a Kohen? Are you a Levi, Israel? All that kind of thing. But it's not exactly like, when I think of a sefer of genealogy, I think about it as, you know, a list of this one came from that one. But we're going to see that this book was super complicated. Okay, we'll get to that. Right. Amrle mehechana. So before he teaches him this book of Sefer Yochsin, he says, tell me where you're from. So Amrle mi Lod. I'm from the city of Lod, right, in Israel. Behechamotavach, but where do you live? In other words, that's where you came from, but where do you live now? Binaharidea. He says, oh, I live in Babylonia. I live in the city of Naharidea. Amrle. So Rabbi Yochanan says to him, remember, Rabbi Yochanan is an Emora from Eretz Israel. This is happening in Israel. He says to him, Eini donim lo leludim velo lenahardim. Very insulting. He says, sorry, this is interesting. This is coming here, right? There's people on the ins, people on the outs. And you guys on the outs. You're the lodim, you're nahard. Of all people, I don't teach people from Lod, and I don't teach people from Nahardia, and you're from both, right? So no way, but kol shekein ta'at milod u'motavach v'nahardia. You're like, you've got the worst of everything. So Shuli Mishkin in flashback talks about why Lod was such a bad place. There's Talmidei Chachamim that came from there, but she points out that those are in the time of the Tanaim and not in the time of the Amoraim. By the time of the Amoraim, historically, no one was living in Lod. Everyone, Lod is considered the Darom, the South, even though it's really in the Merkaz, because then it was considered the South. It was the center was no longer anywhere near there. It was all in the North. And therefore the Attic of Notza was there. You'll see, right, exactly. You'll read in Shuli's article, she talks about all that. It's the Attic of Nitza, Aliyat Beit Nitza. So Nitza. So now it says here. So this Rabbi Samlai did not want to give up. So Kafye V'Artze, he forces him, right, to teach him. He begs him. He says, please, 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 I really want to learn. And Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, fine, no problem. So he lets him learn, right? This is interesting, right? If the Korban Pesach, you can't get in even if you want it. If you're not in, you're not in. But it comes to learning, it's a different world. So Amrale, Nitnie Begimel Yarche. So he says to him, Rabbi Simai says, listen, I want to learn it in 3 months. I'm a little limited in time, right? Give it to me fast. It's almost like Al Regal Achat, right? I want to know the whole Torah Al Regal Achat. This is 3 months, but still you're going to see the 3 months is not satisfactory for this complicated Sefer Yochsin. So Shkal Kalo Patekbe. So Rabbi Yochanan gets angry again at him and he takes a clod of earth and throws it at him. Amrale, Uma, and here's his great example. This is fabulous. Uma Bruria. Okay, who's his example? Bruria. He says, you're expecting him to say the biggest Talmid Chacham of our generation. And he mentions Bruria, okay? Brilliant. So he says, take this woman, Bruria. Debitu de Rabbi Meir. Barite de Rabbi Chanina ben Tadion. She's the daughter of Rabbi Meir. The wife of Rabbi Meir and the daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Tadion. First of all, what's he saying? Yichus, right? She's got all the yichus possible. It's not just right about knowledge, which we'll get to in a minute. She was very knowledgeable and very smart, but also she has the yichus. We're talking about Sefer Yochsin, right? So she's got all the yichus. She's related to all the right people. And yet, Titania, it says about her, Tzlat me'ashmatata. Oh, sorry, she would learn. Sorry, Titania Tzlat me'ashmatata b'yoma, mitzlat me'arabata. She would learn 300 things she would learn. In a day, right? In a day from 300 different rabbis. She was fabulous, right? She had an incredible capacity to learn. And when it came to Sefer Yochsin, she couldn't get through it in 3 years. Okay. So you want 3 months? Give me a break. You're not going to give him 3 months. Look at Bruria. It's fascinating that he compares it to a woman, right? And in those days, especially, she was the example he brings. Kishakel va'azil. When he left, Amar Le Rebbe, he says, before he leaves, he says, listen, ma mein lishmo shelo lishmo, lochla v'shelo lochla. Exactly what was troubling some people I know after class yesterday. Exactly this question. What's the difference between lishmo and shelo lishmo and lochla v'shelo lochla? When it comes to lishmo and shelo lishmo, we have, if you mix them together, it messes it up. But if you mix lochla v'shelo lochla, it doesn't mess up the korban. So he gives them a list. First of all, he says to him, Amrle, ho'il v'tzorva me'rabanana, because you're a Talmid Chacham, now all of a sudden he realizes he's a smart person, right? And he realizes he was wrong about categorizing him just because of where he came from, right? Which is a good lesson to learn. So now he calls him, because you're a Talmid Chacham, tava emalach, I'll explain it to you. And now he says, lishmo v'shelo lishmo psulo begufo. Lochla v'shelo lochla em psulo begufo. When it's lishmo and shelo lishmo, it's a psul in the korban itself. When it's lochla v'shelo lochla, it's not a psul in the animal itself, it's a psul in the owners. Lishmo v'shelo lishmo, yefshar levarer isuro. Lochla v'shelo lochla, yefshar levarer isuro. This is a little more complicated to understand. The Mefarshim have a lot of difference of opinions about what this means, but let's try one option. Lishmo v'shelo lishmo, if you do a korban, you can't say, well, this part was done lishma and this part was done shelo lishma. But lochla and shelo lochla, if it's people who can eat and people who can't eat, I could say, this part of the meat was designated for people who can eat. And this part of the meat was designated for people who don't want to eat. So therefore, it doesn't mess up the entire sacrifice. It's one way of explaining it. Like I said, there's many others, but I'll leave it at that for now. As we saw from the verse before, that shalola ochlav is a psul in the shechita, right? When you slaughter. Whereas the lishmo psul is in all four of the avodot. Lishmo v'shalo lishmo yeshno b'tzibor k'bi yachid. Lochlav v'shalo lochlav eino b'tzibor k'bi yachid. When it comes to switching who it's for, that's only when it's an individual offering, right? Even Pesach is considered an individual offering because people bring it as individuals. Rather than the Korban Tamid, let's say, where there is no owner. So there's no such difference, but you can mess it up by lo lishma. So now one thing about this, Rav Ashi Amar, like we said, that four list of four yesterday, and we said drop two from the list. So here he's going to say combine two into one because two are really one. So it's really only three instead of four. He says, psulo b'gufo v'yef shal v'rer suro chad emiltehi. They're both one and the same. D'matam Amar psulo b'gufo. Why do we say the korban is disqualified as the body of the korban is disqualified? Mishum d'yef shal v'rer suro. Because you can't separate the part that's okay and the part that's not okay. Okay, last line for today. Since we mentioned Sefer Yochasim, we're going to end with this. Amarami bar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, miyom shenignaz Sefer Yochasim, tashash kocham shel chachamim v'kaham me'or enehem. From the day that we lost that book, the light, right, the strength of the rabbis is, you know, starting to wane, and the light of their eyes is no longer like it used to be. Okay, we have a few interesting themes going here. We have the Israel versus Babylonia. We have the early versus later, right? This idea that we no longer have koch like they did earlier. Amar Marzutra, Bein Atzel La'atzal Te'inu Arba Mea Gamale De Drasha. There were 400 camels worth of drashot. Okay, that's like obviously a, you know, an exaggeration and obviously a metaphor, right? This idea that between these two names, one is Atzel and one is Etzel, that are both mentioned in Divrei Hayamim. This is why they think that it was a book of drashot. Sefer Yochasim had 400 camels worth of drashot, right? The camels could carry 400 camels of worth of drashot on that one line. Okay, that's how great and amazing this book was. Again, it talks about, right, you might think the halachic sections are the complicated part. And when we get to Agadata, oh, it's easy, right? What they're saying is the Agadata part is much more complicated. It's the halacha stuff that's easy, right? And the Agadata, right, the halachic stuff, at least, right, look at my charts, right? You can put things in a box, you can organize them, explain them, and close the box. But when it comes to the Agadata, there's no end to what you can say and what you can darshan and what it means, right? There's always this sod and some inner meaning. So anyway, we're going to end with that today. Interesting that this comes up here. Interesting that, right, Bruria comes up as the example par excellence of someone who could catch something quickly and understanding and get with it. And this idea of, you know, people being on the ins and people being on the outs and whether, right, in a sense, maybe what they're saying is when it came to the Korban Pesach, there was this people on the in, people on the outs. But when it comes to the world of Torah, no one's on the outs, right? Everyone's capable of learning. And here he thought this person was, and then in the end, he was proven wrong. And really, everyone can be part of it. And we don't make this distinction and hierarchy of people and people who can be in, people who can be out. So it's a nice message for today to leave you with for Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom.